We're back. We'll unpack later. In today's episode, Wire finally win at Huddersfield. We have an exclusive interview with Steve Price, but will Dennis be giving Mr. Price a drilling? After predicting Luther's code switch, this week, Madam Boyd has a spicy rumour. The podcast finally has youth on its side, and Dennis isn't giving up just yet on those tackle bags. And nous attendons avec impatience le match de Catalans. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, I'm Rob London, and I've made it safely back from the beach with my bucket and spade. And also rested and recuperated are my two co-hosts. So, introducing a true gent. He spent his downtime in the manner one would come to expect from a south of the river acquaintance. Yes, staying in the heart of the capital at the luxury five-star Savoy Hotel. It's Sam Sankey. Good evening, Sam.
Oui, bonjour, mes amis. Ça va?
Ooh, a little bit of French in there very early on the podcast. Well, before we talk about Paris, we should probably talk about London. You had a nice time down there in London?
Excellent, excellent, yes. Mrs. Sankey enjoyed the Savoy and she enjoyed Claridge's.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, she said a highlight, though, was when I took her up the Shard. Panoramic views of the city and a glass of bubbles. She loved it.
Also presenting a bloke, living far above his station in the heart of another slice of Victoria sponge, Vicar. Born well and truly north of the river, he somehow this week pulled the wool over the eyes of his Pimm's and Lemonade neighbours. And would you believe it? Yes, he was reinstated as the chairman of the local village association. It's Dennis Waywell. Sir Dennis.
Good evening. I've got a new voice.
Is this due to the fact that you're now the chairman again reinstated in the local village hall?
I have to say that, you know, all my hard work, you know, it's good to know that the whole village is behind us. Plenty of votes coming in. Everybody was really supportive, voting me in really for my second term. Probably end up a bit like Trump.
You're a little bit like Steve Price, aren't you? Because this is your second year as well. Are you feeling that your sort of careers are running in parallel?
Well, they could be, I suppose. I mean, apart from the fact that I don't really know what I'm doing.
Was you unopposed?
Well, you know, it depends how you interpret these things, you know. I mean, I wouldn't like to say that no one voted. That wouldn't be the case. And no one else wanted to do it. But I mean, I think behind that, people really thought that, you know, actually I'd be the best person for it. I did actually, sorry, for your benefit, I did actually celebrate by having a curry with some cauliflower rice.
Oh, very nice. Low carb?
Very low carb, yes, yes, lovely.
This rugby podcast is going very much off topic, isn't it?
It's cauliflower rice, isn't it? And then it'll become cauliflower ears when he starts watching rugby union, living down there in Glastonbury. That'll be the next thing you watch.
I'm going to be a vegan. I'm going to be a vegan.
Well, Dennis, I hear you had some exciting news this week. In a roundabout way, you received a delivery.
Yeah, it was a very roundabout way, really, wasn't it? I mean, let's just start this off. I'm very, very grateful for Timothy Taylor's, showing their sort of appreciation for the podcast and sending us a case of their wonderful beer. It wasn't actually the beer I wanted, so I just thought, I did say, can I have the new one, Opical Storm, but you ignored me.
You've not even seen it yet. It's in my dad's garage. You don't even know what's in that box.
I can tell by the shape of the box. And also, I don't know where the other boxes are that I'm waiting for. And really, the other thing you ignored is my address and just said, oh, don't worry, just send it to me, mum and dad. Now, I know your mum and dad are old, but chances are they've probably drank it by now.
He's very anxious about that box in his garage now. He's very worried about it. He's asked me about three times when you're picking it up. And also, it's very hard to get deliveries to Glastonbury, I hear.
Luther, he plays rah-rah or clap-clap. Forward passes, knock-ons, long pauses in play. He doesn't give a shit. Think hedge fund manager, that guy at a party don't want to get stuck next to. Luther, coming to the Halliwell Jones soon.
Right, we should probably crack on because we're already about 45 minutes in. We'll move on to the game. This has been recorded in Sydney. It's now here Sunday morning. It's Saturday night over in the UK. Warrington won yesterday, finally winning over at Huddersfield. The team was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, Atkins, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, King back in the second row with Hughes and Tarsi at 13. Interchange bench was Ben Murd at Massilla, Jason Clark, Philbin and Memo. Memo finally got the memo. Anyway, you know what I mean. We kind of listened to it on Wire FM. I think we can only go that far. Most of the time they were talking about the lights going on and off and Four Weddings and a Funeral, or was the song from Love Actually. But when they did comment on the rugby, we kind of got a little bit of nouse about what was going on.
We've watched the health and safety warning as well. Don't forget, you know, don't come if you've got epilepsy because the lights are going on and off.
Yeah, they were really kicking off about the epilepsy, weren't they? Yeah. Most. That was to do with the lights.
Yeah. It doesn't have dementia as well. I've already said that.
Anyway, Sam was there. He ventured across the Pennines yet again. He did send us a little video clip of him coming back. Looked like second class carriage, that, Sam, was it?
We're just normal cattle class going and coming back. It's the Trans-Pennine train. It's not what I'm used to. That's not what I went down to London on last week when I went first class there and back.
Let's move on to the game. A little bit like the game against Hull KR. No one scored for the first 10 minutes. Last week, Sam, you said to me, Hull KR were kind of a little bit on top in that first 10 minutes, or certainly they were not struggling to make any yards. What was the case, the opening stages of the game at Huddersfield?
Huddersfield, we started well. We started well, to be fair.
This is the train
and
trip.
We played very strong, very good, structured, controlled rugby for the first 20-25 minutes. Tarsi, to be fair, was very busy, but sitting behind the posts, he didn't seem to make any impact when he went forward. Looking at his stats, was making 8.5 metres per carry. So, to be fair, he was probably doing a lot better than he actually looked in the game.
Okay. Well, 10th minute, we score our first try. Something that looks a little bit different this year, and probably last year as well, but certainly the last year under Tony Smith, we were struggling close to the line to come up with any options of how to score tries, but we do seem to be questioning the opposition each time. Austin puts through a kick. I think it was a nice weighted kick. It wasn't going to go dead. Their winger comes across and completely fumbles it, and Atkins is in for a try. So we're 6-0 up. Ratchford converts the try. And then on the 15th minute, was this the try of the season so far? Charnley in the corner?
Yeah, it was a lovely move. And he actually came from a little bit further back than the highlights will show. Again, Cooper and Hill interchange. Then Patton actually went to the line, delivered a nice pass to Austin onto Atkins, quick hands. In a way, Charnley had actually overran him slightly. If it had been a metre further back, he'd have got in easy. But as it was, he had three defenders to beat and scored very well in the corner. Yeah, good try, that. Very good try.
Yeah, it was a great try. I mean, you've just mentioned the players there that were involved. So we had Hill, Cooper, Patton, Austin, Atkins and Charnley in the move. There was also two other players in that move. There was two dummy runners. The first dummy runner was Tarsi when the ball went round the back of him. And then we had a second dummy runner in Hughes. I mean, that's good coaching. That's seven players involved in that try. Yeah. Is Dennis away? Yeah. Dennis, you're still with us there.
Sorry.
Seven people.
No, I was actually listening. I was just looking at my notes. And the lights. I'm still looking at the lights. But I didn't write Patton's name down in that little chain. And I've got in my notes that I don't think they mentioned him on the radio until about 20 minutes. So I just want to know, what was he doing in the first 20 minutes before that try, or 15 minutes?
Are we going to have our weekly Patton up to it chat?
We might move on to that at the end. We're going to move on to which player we'd swap. So we might come to Patton then. We'll focus on the players that were involved, and then we'll see where we get to by the end of the game. 21st minute, we actually miss that kick. It's the one of the ones that Ratchford's missed this year. And then on the 21st minute, we get a penalty in front of the sticks, and Ratchford takes that to make it 12-0. And then on the 34th minute, Charnley's in again. Ratchford was off the pitch at that stage. Was this the first kick that we've seen Blake Austin take?
First I can remember.
So are we? Are we
I don't
now?
Think Ratchford. I don't think Ratchford went off the pitch. Ratchford had got clobbered. He looked a bit unsteady for the next few minutes, so I think that's why he wasn't taking the. That's
Robert
why he wasn't
say that was normal play, Sam, for Ratchford. I think he's like headless chicken. Have you not mentioned it yet?
No, I've been very good about Ratchford this week, actually. I wasn't there, was I? So yeah, I can't really have a go at him until next week when I see him against Catalans.
The try
he
actually...
He kept getting a few... Sorry, Sam. He got a few penalties around this time. And there was a couple of times when, I mean, like I say, we listened to it on the radio, you can't really tell, but...
He was kicking
the ball quite deep from, like, the penalties and stuff, but not quite, or just making touch and what have you.
Yes, that was right. But the try came off the back of a period of about 5 minutes pressure from them. But you're right. When we got a penalty on two occasions, Austin going for touch, he made an awful lot of yards. But on both occasions, their winger went jumped to knock it back in play, but was adjudged to have not quite managed to do it. So an awful lot of yards, but high risk play.
Okay, right. Well, just before half time, Huddersfield finally get in. I've watched this try. I mean, it is so far forward, it's ridiculous. The ball that's thrown out to McGilvery, the Huddersfield groundsman's cut the grass perfectly, and so there's a line showing you where he throws it to. It bounces in front of the line and then goes forward about another metre before McGilvery picks it up. Childs, up until half time, what did you make of him, Sam?
His normal self, a little bit fussy in parts. I have to be fair, didn't really notice a problem.
Yeah, okay. He seems to have a rhythm, Charles, with the way he gives the penalties. He tends to give the opposing teams the penalties in the first half, and then he comes home with a wet sail for the home team in the second half. You ever noticed that with Charles? It's not a penalty back and two. He goes on this roll of penalties. In the first half, Warrington got five penalties on the trot. And in the second half, at the end of the game, Huddersfield gets seven penalties on the trot. I mean, statistically, is that possible?
I can't say specifically about Charles. I've not looked at him in particular, but it's amazing how many games you see where penalty count is 8-7 or 9-8, and you think, really, did both sides transcend virtually identically? And you're right. You see, as soon as a team gets on top and is slowed down in the slightest, it seems to be compounded by referees, penalty, 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 penalty.
Dennis, can you write down transcend, please? I'm putting all these together for the...
I have to say, I didn't know what that meant, actually.
Isn't it man dressed in women's clothing? I'm not quite sure.
Not quite. No, not quite. Similar, but not quite. I'll buy you a thesaurus for Christmas.
Try so.
Oh, good. My little one loves dinosaurs.
Childs is a transgender. Got it.
With ready-built units and fully serviced sites, no wonder London's moving our way. Call Eileen Bilton in Warrington Runcorn, the nation's most central location.
Moving on to the second half. The 47th minute, Huddersfield get in again. Again, I question this pass. Ben Murdoch-Masilla runs onto a ball at the end where he just barges his way over. English does something not too dissimilar. I don't think that ball's flat. I think Warrington think he's the dummy runner. And again, I think that ball's half a yard forward by the time it reaches English's hands.
Opposite end of the ground to me, can't come in. Not with any... Actually, yeah, we're Warrington fans. It was bloody forward a mile.
Dennis, your thoughts about it on YRFM?
Well, as you know, YRFM don't really sort of explain it very well. It's all very... What did I write down here? Let me just have a look. Who is it again?
English.
He was the man of the match for them in terms of the sponsor's man of the match gave it to English.
Maybe an insight into which player we're going to swap. We're going to swap English for Deck Patton. Okay. Then Patton is involved. In the 50th minute, he kicks across field.
Hang on, before you move on, I had a bit of a note and I didn't know what it was, is that someone got sin-binned just before that, didn't they?
Yeah.
What was that for? Because that never came across on the radio. He had no idea what he was sin-binned for, because it just looked like an innocuous, or it sounded like an innocuous tackle, and then next minute he sent him off.
It was Thorpe raising his elbow when he was... Huddersfield had the ball and Chris Hill looked for a moment like he'd been knocked out. He went off for a head injury assessment. And I don't know whether he got a call from the sideline, but initially he just stopped the play for Chris Hill to get some attention. He had a chat to his linesman. Then the next minute pulled a Huddersfield guy out and off he went for 10 minutes. And the referee signalled by lifting his forearm.
Ooh. I'm not actually, Rob. You've got a bit of a speciality in doing referee signs, haven't you? I've had a few on WhatsApp before now. You got one well, for I did, the forearm?
Well, I did think that obviously this isn't a visual podcast, so we can't do them. But if anyone wants to write in, I'm more than happy to pass on my signs to them.
Well, don't forget, I have a copy of them, so we could maybe put it on social media, I suppose.
One a week.
Okay. I think we'll be banned after week two.
I can see there's already going to be a flood of emails about that. Yeah. The flood of one.
With my knock on, you can see right up my shard as well.
You've not seen my tackle bags yet.
Right, well, come on, we need to give Patton some credit. On that 50th minute, he kicks the ball across field. Ratkins rises above two of the Huddersfield defenders, and we score. Good kick, good play. One thing Patton's quite good at, he's sort of doing that little kick across field, isn't it? He's got that one down pat on.
Yeah. So I did. You're right. And again, it seems like a weekly chat. We'll talk about him in a bit, I'm sure. But if he concentrates on the things he's good at, then yeah, he can do okay. Thought Atkins as well has made that type of move his own over the last 5 or 6 years. I remember him taking the similar kick off Braze at Wembley, didn't he, against Leeds? But there was no way the Huddersfield guys were having that ball. It was Atkins all the way for that.
Yeah, good try. Okay, and then we pretty much finished the game off. We come out to the left-hand side. We've got numbers out there, and Austin just does a little show and go, and he's over. He just seems to be every game. He seems to be there or thereabouts. You know, you could go 70 minutes and not hear Roberts' name mentioned once, but this marquee player, we've not really come up with the analogy what kind of tent he is yet, but he's certainly seems to be there.
His analogy is a car, don't forget.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Can you get any cars that have a sort of side hoarding on with some kind of canopy?
Yeah, the camper van. Bang,
bang. I mean, he could be the camper van.
Yeah, he could be, as long as he's not in the canal just yet.
Okay, we finally score again. Ben Murdoch-Masilla barging his way over. Good to see him back. Sam, did he have a good game, Ben Murdoch-Masilla? I mean, he's been a bit touch and go recently. He's been injured and hasn't really played many minutes.
He didn't play many minutes again this week. He came on late in the day. Let's be fair. He scored his try and he did what we hope he does more and more regularly. He took a little drop-off ball from Clark. He's 5 metres out and he smashes the two or three defenders in front of him and puts the ball down. Interestingly, he does that bit of play exceptionally well. And the next time we're down with them, he's not alive to a loose ball. Huddersfield get it, and he pulls the Huddersfield man down and then lies on him and gives a penalty away. So similar again. Look, if he can get fully fit and if he can get fully switched on, it's a danger. He's a danger going forward, isn't he? He's a great weapon.
Has he ever been fully fit yet?
No.
Not sure.
He was born not fully fit. Born with bandages on his knees.
Yeah, I've no idea whether the bandages are precautionary or whether he needs them. I've no idea.
They look like someone else's legs, like I said before. They don't look like big enough.
His enormous unit, though. He, when he goes when he gets on a roll, he knocks them out like Tenpin bowling. They go flying off him.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'd want to tackle him.
No. He needs to be given the ball more at that end of the field, doesn't he? You don't want him bringing the ball off your own line. It's just too inconsistent what's going to happen. Give him it 5 yards from the line and he's a monster.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, right at the end of the game, we've kind of spoken about this already. Childs gives Giants 7 penalties on the trot and they score 2 more tries. One of the tries came over on Huddersfield's left-hand side. Charlie just does seem to drift in field a little bit. It seems to be every week he's sort of hugging up to his centre. I'm not sure if we're just counting the numbers or there's why we do that.
Hello.
Oh.
Found that today. Just so happens he gave 7 penalties away in the last 5 minutes, didn't he?
I've just mentioned that, Dennis. Keep up.
All right.
I know you went to get your whistle, but we just did that. You missed your big moment then.
Oh, Jesus. I should have got it out
have you
before.
Have you been keeping that ready all week just to use that in that moment?
And he blew it.
I tell you what, it's got a proper little... It looks like a nut in it. It's not like a ball.
The thing is, when you have a whistle, you do want to blow it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. This is an authentic whistle. It does sound good, doesn't it? Anyway.
My daughter's netball division now, they've gone away with whistles because there was too much blowing of them. And now they have a device that they hold in their hand and they press it and it blows. And they reckon it takes down the amount of times a referee blows a whistle. It's not as inviting as putting it in your mouth.
I don't really want to get involved with that sort of sport in a way. Should we move that on?
Right, okay. Well, final score is... What was the final score? Warrington 32, Huddersfield 20. We should probably mention the predictions at this point. Dennis wasn't that far... Well, when we kicked off, I was the closest. I'll just make that point.
As always.
And then it was looking like Dennis was going to nail it. Dennis went for 30 points to 10. Sam went for 24-16. You were both 12 points away, depending on which way you want to look at it. I've looked at the rule book and it says if you do draw, then by default, the win goes to the third member of the team. So I've won this week. We're all on one each now, which is good to see. I saw your problem when you both went for your results and I thought, yeah, I can get them here. So it's one each going into week 4.
I called, I just summed that thing up. I sent you a WhatsApp. It was a solid grind. So what do you think? Was it a solid grind? And what coffee would you describe the match as?
What would I describe it as?
Coffee. What sort of coffee was it? Yeah.
A slightly disappointing coffee that you've paid slightly too much money for. I'm actually looking forward to Austin firing for a full game because... Every time he gets the ball, he looks dangerous. And if he can just finish off one or two of these things he's doing, he's going to destroy someone.
So by the sounds of it, it was lacking a bit of substance, the coffee. So probably lacking a bit of caffeine. So I would say it was a decaffeinated coffee.
Oh, God.
That's not bad, that. That isn't bad at all. I like how you say that the coffee was like, you know, expensive. Disappointingly expensive.
Mm. Yeah, I've had a nice flat white this morning from Manly Mall. I actually bought myself 2. I've got the second one just sitting over there. Might have it in a second. Okay. Dude, I'll probably drink it during Dennis's tackle bags.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Sam.
You need to be sharp for the answer on that one.
Right, Sam, we need to come back to you again, mate, because we weren't there. My man of the match would probably go to 4 Weddings and a Funeral, according to WireFM. Dennis, yours?
I had Clark. I think it sounded like he had a solid match and he did 80 minutes.
Sam?
I've already mentioned Austin was excellent in parts. Charlie, obviously, a couple of tries. Philbin putting a big tackling stint. But I think I've got to go with one of the front three, Hill, Cooper and Clark. And Hill made 139 metres, but Clark, 80 minutes. Busy all the time, lots of tackles, threatening the defence. I'll give it to Clark. It'll be interesting to see what the Man of Steel points are, because I think it was hard to pick out an actual individual over the 80 minutes.
Yeah, they got the Man of Steel points, I think, pretty much spot on, didn't they, in the last game at Hull KR. But the Leeds game was a funny one, the way they gave the points out in the Leeds game.
Well, it's how do you judge it? Because, as I've said already, Austin made loads of mistakes, but he produced two or three moments of class. So is that two or three moments of class? Does that outweigh several errors? It's hard to judge. Or do you go for someone like Clark, who played consistently well all the way through 80 minutes? Hard to judge.
Well, Dennis, you work in the engineering sector. Would you want an engineer that comes up with quality every third week, but the rest of the stuff, you know, goes in the bin like a piece of conduit? Or do you just want a steady piece of engineering? Not quite within the tolerances, but that'll do.
No, you've got to have quality every time, of course. That's all I can say on that, really. You know what? I think from an engineering point of view, there is no particular analogy that could ever be used. Because when I think of engineering, Rob, I think of you. He'd always end up being shit.
is Clark R. Brunel? Surely he is, isn't he?
He is, isn't he? He's just solid as a rock. Solid as a rock.
Absolutely. Okay.
Solid as the fourth rail bridge.
How about the shard? What's the shaft like on the shard?
No. Blake Austin's a shard. Shiny and new.
Hey, up. Here we go. Another fantasy locker coming up.
Write that down, Dennis. Write it down.
You know, shiny and new. God. What's he polishing next?
Right. Okay. Well, every week we're looking at which player we'd swap with the opposing team. I'd probably swap Love Actually, according to Wire FM. Sam, you?
You'll have to explain this Love Actually, having not listened to it.
Well, they went on about Love Actually and Four Weddings and a Funeral for most of the first half when they weren't talking about the lights.
Well,
to be fair, I'll give you some thinking time, Sam.
I know we're going to swap. I'm just trying to wrap it up nicely. Go on, you go first.
Well, I was just going to say, by Wire FM, they did actually do my shout out on.
Yes.
Mamo get the memo that he's playing for Warrington.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Very good.
So go on, Sam.
I'm going to say for 2 weeks out of three, I'm going to have Lee Gaskell instead of Deck Patton.
Oh!
There's definitely a pattern developing there.
De-deck-caffeinated.
Do you know what? And it doesn't give me any pleasure to say it, but Deck missed 9 tackles. He only made 13 and he missed 9. He only carried the ball, again, according to Super League website, but I saw him making errors. He threw the ball. He tried to do a cutout pass early in the first half to Lynham, and it ended up in the third row of the stand. But Gaskell played very well. I just want Deck to settle down and, as you mentioned earlier, produce more of the short kicking game and the kicks to Atkins, things like that.
I said on week one, I said he needs about 10 games.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I reckon he does, and I'll stick to that. Now, here's a good thing. This is one thing I know is that it's never going to change in 2 or 3 games, and it'll take him 10 games.
So he started to copy Blake. About 78 games now.
Well, no, because I'm taking it from the point of when Kevin Brown sort of dropped out.
Okay.
And I think it's a different change. I think he started to copy Blake Austin. He put a good kick in.
Sam, in week one, you said Deck Patton didn't need to be fantastic. He just needed to be consistently good.
Yeah.
He's been consistently average, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's not letting the team down. I'm just talking about when we get to 2 or 3 weeks' time, Wigan, if we get to semi-finals and finals, I suppose that's what I'm judging him on.
Yeah. All right, so yet again, we're swapping Deck Patton. Okay.
Look, I just want to be fair. It's not because of a problem with him. It's just that others are better.
Are we being like MasterChef? Have you got a it's really like the final, and you just sort of like, you know, all of them are great, but
shouldn't
you know,
quite
this
be
one
there.
Just,
no,
yeah,
I just... no, I wouldn't say great. I'm not going to say great, but yeah, the lad's playing okay, but he's only playing okay.
You know, if it was the MasterChef final, right, there's no question about it. Blake Austin has got the balls to do a souffle in the final. It's always a risky one. Never normally comes off. Depp Patton's not doing a souffle in the final, is he? He's doing a standard jerk chicken.
No, he's doing a chocolate pudding. They never work out. So, you know, you can see the conversation going on. It's like, yeah, this is looking great. This is looking great. And then, this one's a bit shit. And so that's what we're saying.
Are we going at our demographic talking about MasterChef, are we?
Do you? Right, well, we come on to a very exciting point now in the podcast. Finally, this podcast has been shown a bit of respect because earlier this week, Dennis was granted, would you believe it, a one-on-one interview with Warrington's first team coach, Steve Price. Now, unlike other journalists, here at What Would Brian Bevan Say, we own nothing. Dennis is not restricted by the shackles of burning bridges. He isn't going to suck up to the powers that be, so he gets a free invitation to an end-of-season dinner. You won't find Dennis on this podcast licking the boots of a sponsor for a free meal ticket or drink. Here it is, Dennis interviewing Warrington's coach, Steve Price.
So, today I've got an exclusive interview with Mr. Price. Unfortunately, a bit of a hiccup earlier today. He's chipped a tooth, so he's got to go to the dentist, but... he's still agreed to have the interview, so I'm just on my way there now, and hopefully I can just find him in here. Now, I think he may have already gone in, but I've got special dispensation today to have this, to have this interview, so I'll make my way into the dentist surgery now, and hopefully Steve will be there and be able to do the
second
interview.
Door on the left, that's very well.
Hey Steve. Oh. Hey Steve, all right?
Yeah.
So you're looking quite comfortable there. Well, comfortable as you can be when you're in the seat. Anyway, straight away, thank you very much for agreeing to do this interview. I can understand that, you know, it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
Steve, just move around here. Chris Hill, he's been described as the marquee player this year, or the big top in some circles. We saw a great move with Cooper leading to a try against Hull KR. Is there any truth that he's moving to halfback, showing his ball skills and combinations?
Something a little bit different to what you know, we've had in the past, and everyone's working really hard. We're building, you know, a huge amount of resilience amongst individuals and as a team, and building strong relationships and combinations.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously, with the unfortunate loss of Kevin Brown this year, we've got Depp Patton. He's in a position to try and, you know, fill that gap. That doesn't work out. Have you got any players in mind that you'd like to bring into the team this year? Oh, sorry. Steve's just, for the listeners, had the drill inserted and just working on his tooth at the moment. So, yeah, Steve, I suppose when the drilling stopped, if you could maybe just sort of give us an idea of what players you're looking at, any other big signings? We've had the salary cap dispensation and everything, so have you got anything, any players in mind? That's amazing news if we can manage to make a signing like that. The fans at Warrington would be absolutely ecstatic that they're getting such a high-statured player within the game. Yeah, and pretty much an exclusive for us here at What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast. So thank you very much for that bit of information. Anyway, Timothy Taylor have bought out a new beer this week called Hopical Storm. I know you've tasted it, Steve. What did you think of it?
Huge amount of resilience and fantastic. You know, it's exciting times.
A huge amount of resilience. Never heard a beer described like that before, but I'm sure it's going to be a popular brew. Anyway, I'm going to move this on now. It's probably my final question. You know, last year we had a very successful year. We made two finals. Unfortunately, we didn't win them. People are starting to say that, you know, with a team that will never win, We keep saying it'll be probably be our year. What will be different this year, Steve, if we make the finals? How would you sort of describe our chances this year? Oh, you all right there? Oh, I hope that wasn't the question, Steve. Is that some kind of metaphor for us choking in the final? Nurse, could you not get any Novocaine or give him some gas or something? I think he's losing his resilience. Come on, Steve, pull yourself together.
Nurse, stay there. Remove that man immediately.
Right, that's enough. Out of this practice, now.
Get off. I've got special dispensation to be in here and you ask me questions. Get off with you.
Stay resilient.
Well, that went well, Dennis.
Yeah, very well, I thought. Felt like
I've
a real.
I've still got
sort
the whistling
journalist.
In my ears. I can still. Yeah, all I can hear. Yeah.
You know, a dentist is never the best place to be in them situations. But yeah, I thought I did quite well on my first journalistic outing. Thought I got all the information there. The interview was actually a lot longer than that. And there's a lot more questions. And, maybe later date, we might be able to listen to the whole lot.
Yeah, it's like someone got that in the interview and just cut it down really into the mix, didn't they? Yeah. Rather than the 12-inch.
Editorial masterpiece.
The 12-inch version.
Yeah, but just to make sure that he was absolutely fine afterwards, and we did laugh about it and everything. So
after you were thrown out.
I wasn't technically thrown out. I just tripped over. I think the noise made it sound like I got thrown out, but I was just tripping. Not tripping in that way. I didn't fall on the needle or anything. No,
I was just for the soul.
Yeah, I was. It was fine. Next time, I think I'm hoping to get another interview with someone in the club. So
Lee Brays at the Shropshireist.
Let's hope it doesn't.
Write that down. Okay. It turns out we have a cacophony of listeners out there requesting a shout out. We can't do them all. We'd love to do them all, Dennis. Gets a lot through on his email. We get a fair few through on Twitter. We had to work out who we were going to give it to this week. It's been very difficult. But the shout out this week goes to a chap. He's not actually living in the UK. He's over in the United Arab Emirates. He stood out. His name's Lee. So hello to Lee over there in Dubai. You are the podcast shout out of the week. Dennis, do you want to give Lee a shout?
I want to know what the rules are for these shout outs first.
He ticked all the boxes. Why I thought he needed to be Lee.
What did he
qualify? This is purely by I probably should have mentioned this now while we're talking about it, because I'm not going to get another. It's a bit embarrassing, really. I don't really want to go on about it. I'm actually staying in Dubai in late June. Sure coincidence that Lee happens to be Dubai. Lee, we're staying at the Jumeirah Beach Hotel. It's a lovely 5-star complex.
Are you offering him to go around for something to eat?
Just recently on TripAdvisor, there's a fair bit of building work going on in the marina. So Lee, if you wouldn't mind, can you just pop over there sort of mid-May with a decimal counter and let me know how loud the diggers are? Because I'm contemplating swapping to the Madinat. Anyway, good shout out there to Lee. Just pure coincidence there that you get yourself around there now, Lee, Monday morning. Lee is the shout out of the week.
Yeah, that's right. So the whole of the other list that I sent you through,
I'm not staying in Scarborough.
Poor old Keith Smart, who got in touch with us about pictures.
Not as solid as Lee, though, is he? Lee's the way to go.
Warrington RLFC, Wilderspool Memories. They provided me with a bit of material this week with the tight shorts.
True, yeah. Yeah, but I just feel Lee, I don't know, Lee was just on a different pinnacle, wasn't he?
Does he drink Timothy Taylor's?
I don't know what he drinks. It could be Ramadan at the moment. He's probably not drinking anything.
I mean, if we can verify that, then I can suppose we can probably go along with it.
Okay. Mid last week, Wire announced the signing of their rugby union convert, Luther Burrell. It came as no shock yet again to this podcast because Madam Boyd broke the news of the code switch a few weeks ago. Dennis, Sam, I know very little about this rah-rah bloke. I mean, you know, apart from the dreaded YouTube showreel, I'm at a complete loss to this. If only we knew someone that lives sort of in the Bramall area, someone that sort of South Manchester area, we could probably get some insight into this. But closest bloke I know living around there is just on the sort of fringe of Gatley. Oh. Sam, your thoughts? Too old?
Sam is.
What, me? Yeah, I'm definitely too old. Luther Burrell.
Got a great name.
Yes, but for the... Before I get shot down by this, I do actually watch a little bit of Union for the internationals anyway. Yeah, okay. No, fair enough. But Burrell is huge. Absolute monster of a player. He's about 6'3". He's a 17 stone, I think. I remember when he was playing...
The tank.
When he was playing for England, I remember him scoring a try against France. He just burst through. Now, the thing you would say is going to be 31. That's young. That's 2 years or maybe even 3 years younger than Atkins, but it could be a bit late to be making a swap. But in terms of salary cap, he's not going to cost us anything. So,
but is he, does he cost us pennies next year? Is he 50% next year?
No. That's because he's come from outside of the game. You've got a two-year dispensation on him, so he's not going to cost us anything this year. Not going to cost us anything the year after. Fitzpatrick said he'd only cost us 50% the year after that, but I think that. I'm guessing that
because
means
he's volunteering that year.
That's because he's on a pension by that stage.
So, in terms of money, it's not going to cost us anything. It's going to cost obviously the club and the backers some money. It's exciting. Whether he makes it is another matter, but it's exciting.
So where does he fit in? I mean, what have they bought him for? As a centre? I mean, centre's going to be probably harder to learn than playing on the wing. I mean, if you stick him out on the wing, it's not a too dissimilar game on.
Well,
in either code.
He's playing centre now. He's played centre in Union, as far as I know, all his career.
Yeah.
I always think it's a bit easier for the backs to adjust than the forwards. Thing is, obviously Atkins is going at the end of the year, so you've got Goodwin. Yeah, he's last year, Brian. Oh. I think you've got Goodwin again
on
for
what
next
would Brian
year.
Say.
Yeah, you've got Goodwin again next year, I believe, and obviously Toby King. So surely he's going to be a centre. Surely he's going to be a centre.
You're right there, Dennis.
He's just revealed also that Bryson Goodwin will be here for another year and will just sign to.
Well, I tell you what, we're not replacing those two centres with a young, sprightly chap, are we? If we brought Luther.
No.
Is it not a case that Lynham heads back to Hull and he goes on the wing? Is that possibly what they're thinking as well?
Like I say, they have described him as a tank, and a tank can drive as fast forward as fast backwards, but they're not exactly the fastest of machines, are they?
Well, the thing is, as well, perhaps we can open this out a bit. Price said that he would provide cover for centre and second row. But in second row, we've got, if they're all fit, surely we've got Hughes and Curry as the starting second rows. And then we've got Clark, Westwood, Ben Murdoch, Masella.
Westwood, again.
King, he probably won't be here next year, I suppose. But King,
Vivian
Levette,
Westwood.
Davis, Lewis Johnson. We've got second rows coming out of our ears, haven't we?
Let's have a look at it from another angle, shall we? I've been doing a bit of research.
Moving on to the next bit of the podcast.
This is proper research. This is, you know, this took time and effort, earning me earning money on this podcast now. Right, so I've been looking at like converts. So going from one, you know, one sport to another. Let's have a look at a few past ones, shall we? Does everybody remember Dwayne Chambers?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he got done for drugs, didn't he?
Yeah, he was described as rubbish. That's
You can't put him in the same bracket. He was an athlete, rugby player.
Liam Botham.
Oh, good one. Good shout there, Dennis.
He played all right.
He was a shadow of his old man.
There was an Aussie one called Darren Clark, 400 metre runner. Ebi Ekoku.
Who?
Played for Bradford Bulls.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he a policeman?
A Ekoku?
I think so. I'd rather have a Ekoku than a decaffeinated.
Decaffeinated. Sorry.
Jean-Michel Jarre.
No, Jeff French, boxer.
Jeff French.
I'm just telling you, he's playing rugby.
Rob, can you do some severe editing here?
Hang on.
Are you referring to Jeff Fenwick, the Australian boxer?
No.
You've written him down as Jeff French.
He was called the Maverick Mauler, triple champion, but had to stop at boxing because he had brittle hands. But he played for Parramatta Eels in the 1990s. I'm still going here. Hang on. Another French connection as we're doing a bit of French this week.
Jim Bergerac.
Philip Gardent, international skier, bobsleigh, and American football, played for Celtic Crusaders. There was a Tyrone Mears, played for Warrington Wolves Academy and went to Man City. Arthur Rowe, shot put, 1958 to 61, played for Oldham. He wanted to play on the wing, but found it too hard.
That's one for the kids, 1958. Bloody hell.
But my favourite one.
Frank Sidebottom.
Adam Fogarty.
He went and had
a TV career.
Didn't he assassinate someone on Coronation Street?
Duffed up Jack Duckworth on Curry.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's apparently snugged Helen Mirren. He's grabbed the bollocks of Brad Pitt. What a man. So in terms of converts, I don't think we have too many good examples of converts. So I think my question for you two was going to be,
Yes,
I'm going to get there.
Sam wants to go to bed.
I know you're going to cut this. Who would you say has been the best convert from union to league?
We've got round to a point in the end.
I would probably go for Roland Phillips.
Hey, really?
Yeah. I remember seeing him in Times Square and I had a mate who went up to him and said, "You've got to stop turning your back." It's got to be Jonathan Davis, hasn't it? Every time.
Well, in the time that I've been watching, yes. But actually, you talk about Roland Phillips, that team with Jiffy Davis, Kevin Ellis, Roland Phillips,
Ryan Atkins Bateman. Wasn't in the team at the time. Roland
Bateman.
That was Graeme Gill, wasn't it?
Roland Atkins.
Yeah. Well, just while we're on that subject of Jonathan Davis, I think it's gone full circle this week at Widnes. Widnes's problems, to me, stem from when they bought Jonathan Davis, John Devereux. That was when the debt started. I know it's a long, long time ago, but it's taken 30 years to finally crawl to a halt. But it was all that overspend that they did. My old man is a shareholder at Warrington, and he gets the books at the end of the year. And he only commented on the phone to me last night. He said, if you look at Warrington's spending at the start of Super League when it started, it just didn't add up. I mean, he'd have drunk all your Timothy Taylors, Dennis.
Jeez.
He was absolutely furious. It was only Mr. Moran that saved us from going down the path of a witness.
Yeah.
You're right there, I suppose. Maybe not Simon so much, but the new stadium saved us, having our own home paid for by Tesco.
Yeah. I mean, Wigan started it all. It was Wigan that went bust, wasn't it? Wigan overspent.
Yeah.
Widnes followed suit, and Widnes have never got back on their feet since then. And we were just fortunate that we sold Sculthorpe and Harris at the time for big profits. Yep.
Are we expecting the Kukash to come in on that or what?
No,
I mean, he's already spoke to him, hasn't he?
Liverpool, Kukash. Calm down, you're offside. Hey, I'll tell him into Tenerife.
Kukash has told him to, but he's not helping him, aren't he? But you, I think Rob, you're right. We sold Sculthorpe, we sold Harris, we made the move to the new stadium, and you know what? A boring thing to say, but I think we've got to give...
Blow your whistle, Dennis. Blow your whistle.
Well, no, it's important, though. Gatcliffe, Neil Dowson, the financial guy there at Warrington, and obviously Simon, and latterly the other two directors, you know, the club's very well run. The club is very, very well run at the minute.
We need to cut them names in, Rob, because he's obviously forgotten at that point.
Okay. Stuart Middleton and Mike Lomax.
All right. With Widnes then, because from a financial perspective, what does this actually mean? Now they're going to, within a week, they get liquidated. Does that mean that there's some like chairs and tables going and stuff like that? Because
Well, the council own the stadium. I don't know the rules other than they automatically get 12 points. If they then can't fulfil the fixtures, I presume they get relegated.
Yeah, but do all the assets get sold off? Because for the village hall.
They've got none. I suppose it's just the players. There'll be a fire sale. Did I miss something then?
Yeah.
Do you want a steady prop for the village hall? Can sort that out for you. A tea urn
for the village hall. Yeah, they're bound to have one in corner, aren't they? They probably put all that like Lucas Aid in it and everything for players.
When they bought Jonathan Davies, they were bound to get a tea urn in.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, let's move on. She predicted the player from another code. Everyone said, "What on earth was she going on about?" Yet, over 2 weeks ago, she came up with it. I can see the code. I see another code. We all talked about it. Well, Dennis this week spoke to Madam Boyd again. And is there more to this Tony bloke? He's starting to sound very familiar.
Hello, this is you on the control tower. Do you want number 77?
Good evening, Madam Boyd speaking.
Ah, Madam Boyd, Sir Dennis Waywell again.
Oh, Mr. Waywell, I've been expecting your call.
So, Madam Boyd, could we have this week's prediction, please?
Tony, come in here, please. Get me my balls.
So, can I ask how you met Tony and what the current arrangement is, Madam Boyd?
Ah, here he is, my knight in shining armour. Tony, retrieve the balls, please. Tony, you really must cut those nails. Anyway, dear, I met Tony in a taxi. He was a taxi driver near Glastonbury at the time, and now he's moonlighting in the chip shop, where he peels potatoes from the attic. And his remaining time is spent tending to my every need.
Oh, it'd be good to possibly have a chat with him at some time, if that'd be possible. Do you think we could do that on the next call?
Oh, not now, dear. Here comes something in my balls. They're throbbing. My balls are black and blue. An injury, maybe? The smell of Vindaloo. Yes, your player Curry will be king of the castle very soon.
Brilliant. Do you know when?
Sorry, dear. I'm exhausted. Tony, charge down to the chip shop, please.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Is this the return of, dare I say it, the Rogan Josh, Mr. Ben Curry?
It could well be. It could well be. I don't know what his curry analogy would be at the moment, but I certainly read into that's what we're talking about, don't you think, Sam?
Yeah, it's interesting. The club's been very quiet, and I guess they're not wanting to put too much pressure on him. But I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of weeks, maybe Castleford, maybe Wigan.
Well, she did say King of the Castle, didn't she? Did you hear that little bit? She said King of the Castle, yeah. Which could be Castleford. Let's hope he comes back at least a Samba or a Madras. We don't want him coming in at that sort of, you know, Danzak level, do we? He needs to be a 4-star rating at least.
I mean, I've got him down as a bit of a kedgeree at the moment. I mean, it's very mild. Bit fishy eggs in it, but it's full of protein. He's building up. So he's building himself up. He's been doing a lot of this contact stuff as well, hasn't he, Sam? That's what I read this week.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel he can't be far away, and it's just a question of match fitness, I'm guessing. I don't know, not heard anything through the grapevine, but you know what? If he comes back, fingers crossed, because if he comes back and he proves his fitness and he can get strong, it's like a new signing to us, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
huge signing. I mean, you've knocked him on this podcast before, Sam, but I mean, Dennis and I have been completely 100% behind the kid, and I think he'll prove you wrong, really prove you wrong. If he does come back in.
Sorry, you missed me out before, but we were swapping players, and I actually wrote down Bryson Goodwin swapping him out for McGilray. But if we were to get...
Dennis. Cheers,
hang on. I'm leading on to something else. I don't know why you think I'm going off on a tangent, but anyway, what I was thinking
You've been
is though.
Drinking
actually,
tonight.
Yes, no way Dan Walker would be doing this on breakfast.
No
Tonight's
way.
Sponsored podcast is a Bolt Maker from Timothy Taylor's. It's quite a nice beverage, this one, 4.2%, but quite good. Anyway, I was going to say is that, you know, if Curry comes back and he did have his speed, I'd probably like to see him in the centre again, me. I think.
Yeah,
he's not going to go in the centre though, is he? They're going to in the well. Who are they going to drop? I mean, Sam's already mentioned
Goodwin.
It. I mean,
okay. That's it, Goodwin.
Right. What kind of curry's Goodwin? Korma.
Oh no. What was I looking
butter
at before?
Butter chicken. They like butter chicken in Australia.
Sag. Just a sag.
All right. Well, let's move on now. I'm quite excited by this. I'll start it by saying a famous quote from Oscar Wilde. To get back my youth, I would do anything in the world except take exercise, get up early, or be respectable. Well, it turns out our podcast listeners, based on the analytics, are not that young. In fact, our average listener... our average listener is somewhere between 48 and 65...
Healthy,
100% male demographic. I mean, I can go a little bit further if you like. It's amazing what iTunes will provide you with and what they sneak into your computer to see, which is why I clear my internet history every night. 98% of our audience like dogs.
That's bollocks.
Their preferred method of cooking is grilling. But here's the good one. Their favourite nibble to have between meals is a salty snack, according to iTunes. So if you...
Yeah, that's your web browser, that is.
So if that's you, if you like a salty snack, please, we'll give the contact
number. That's what you typed in.
We'll let you know exactly what salty snacks... What salty snack would you get in the United Arab Emirates? That's a good point. Okay, well, to attract a younger crowd, we were contacted this week by Young Callum. He's an aspiring journalist. He not only writes a fantastic column in nothingbutleague.com, but to boot, he's a Wire fan. So to bring in the younger crowd and to talk to someone who knows what they're talking about, it's over to Callum.
Hi, I'm Callum, 18-year-old, massive Warrington fan. I've been brought onto this podcast, What Would Brian Bevan Say, to give my views on all things Warrington Wolves, really. And the two things I want to sort of mention are the fact how the players especially in the sort of new era of the club, all the players, the younger players like Josh Charnley, Harvey Levitt, Toby King, Deck Patton, I think they all really interact with the fans, and it's just really nice to see, especially with all the community clubs as well. It's really, really good. And also just something, obviously, the next game, Catalans away, it's one the fans all love. We all know that. And there's definitely a sense of, there's a buzz around the club at the moment with the first two games being won. I think it'll be a close game, one, I reckon, and I hope the Wire will get the victory in. There's a lot of dangerous players on their side, Sam Tompkins, Matty Smith, Lewis Tierney, Braden Williame. We saw that last year in the Challenge Cup final, minus Sam Tompkins and Matty Smith, but I think we will get the win. And it's just a matter of time to see, hopefully, that it'll be our year.
Well, that was great to hear from Callum. Turns out his favourite player seems to be Josh Charnley. He's youthful, he's exuberant, hence probably why he goes for Josh Charnley. What's your connection, Dennis? Who would you say you can sort of familiarise yourself with in that team?
Which team?
Is he getting a bit past your bedtime?
Bob Eccles, Ken Kelly. That's about it. That'd be your pin-up, wouldn't it?
No, Bob Jackson. I'd like to see Bob Jackson push a wheelie bin around. He never had wheelie bins in that time.
Well, Dennis, good on Callum. I mean, he writes an absolutely fabulous column, and anyone who's listening to this really needs to go to nothingbutleague.com and check out Callum's page. It's great to get some young journalists coming into this industry. Dennis, at 18, what were you doing?
He's gone.
You're going to have to severely edit this bit.
Oh dear. We'll leave it there. Okay, look, we quoted Oscar Wilde for Callum. I think it's only fair we quote Oscar Wilde for this next section too. Oscar Wilde once wrote, "A good friend will always stab you in the front. Nothing could be more apt about Dennis. It's over to Dennis Waywell's tackle bags."
Tackle bags.
Right, okay. Glad to be back again. We're all up for this, aren't we now? Getting into a nice little regular feature here. Tackle bags. So, in response to my question last week, tight fitting shorts and leotards, etc. So, don't get distracted, boys. We're going to all get into this now. So, I had
rumbling.
I had 59% people come back with a positive yes, they should be wearing tight fitting kit. In particular, got a letter off or an email. I keep saying letters. I think letters are always better. But I'll stick with email.
Just pass me that takeaway menu, please, just a sec, Tom.
Jenny, Jenny said, yes, definitely. She'd like to be the next kit woman. So, got an ulterior motive there. 35% said no. Got a letter, an email off Rocky. He said, no thanks, I'm a vegetarian. So I don't think he's too keen on that sort of thing. And then just a rogue one, someone called Onion Terror. And they just said pervert, so I don't know what they were thinking there. Anyway, moving on. This week's tackle bags is French themed, and I was looking at all sorts of the things that the French had invented. There's quite a lot of useful things: aspirin, stethoscope. I'm sure Sam's got a lot more. I can see him already. He's very interested in this. He's just walked away.
For our listeners, Sam's just left the room and gone to the fridge for another beer.
Anyway, I came across rugby golf. It was invented in France, introduced in 2016. And I was thinking about, you know, how this would work. Just looking at some of the rules, actually. The tee off is using a kicking tee. The ball in... Where are you going? ball in play, kick ball in hand. You can either do that with a throw or a drop kick. In the rough, you can only drop kick it out. Bunker, drop kick, water. Anyway, the whole point of this is, what I was thinking of is, could we actually get the golfing demographic to actually play more rugby or get involved with rugby? Something that I think maybe, you know, we could ask our listeners to see whether they too think that this would be a good sort of, you know, sport to be involved with.
Good evening, Anushis Greenhouse Ledgeford. How can I be of service?
Ah, ACLs, could we order a takeaway, please?
Yes, sir.
May I ask, is the Rogan Josh very tomato-y?
It has a very resilient flavour.
Okay, lovely, I'll have that then, please.
Yes, sir.
Sam, what do you want again?
Chicken lava.
You'll have a chicken what? Chicken lava. Chicken lava.
Lava.
You'll have a chicken lava.
Any naan?
No, sadly, she passed away many years ago.
No, sir. Any naan bread?
Oh, right, yes, sorry. Any naan bread, Sam?
Yeah, yeah, Peshwari naan. Peshwari.
You'll have a Peshwari naan.
That was Mr. Tyrone's favourite bread.
Oh, did he come in here very often?
Only in the summer months, sir. He didn't venture out in the cold or the dark.
Sam, what would Dennis like?
Oh, just get him steak and chips.
Steak and chips, please.
Of course, sir. And your address, sir?
Do you deliver to Glastonbury? Hello? 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 Hello?
You were using a Gilbert bowl.
We didn't order the cauliflower rice.
I think you should really maybe swap to a Steeden bowl. It might add a bit of extra advantage if you're playing that.
It's true.
Anyway,
my mum at the pitch and putt at Walton, when I was in a pram, she refused to play. Dad was very keen to go round the course. We all know that first hole at Walton at the pitch and putt. You go and get your balls and your clubs, and it's that little one that just floats down to the green. Yeah. You can almost put it down the hill. The big tree overlooking it. Mum didn't want to play. There was a big queue, probably was a bank holiday or something like that. Mum stepped up onto the tee with the pram in one hand, with me in the pram. She hit the ball, topped it. It rolled all the way down, and she got a hole in one. And the bloke behind me dad said, "You may as well give up now, mate," which is a little bit sexist, to be fair.
Yeah.
Mothers do a great job. But back then it was acceptable.
You see, she was nearly on the verge of discovering rugby golf there, because actually in rugby golf, you get something like a pram, put it on the green, and you have to throw the ball into it. So, yeah, she wouldn't have been that far off. In fact, she could have just substituted the ball and just used you.
Well, she invented
it. Get you down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sam, any French stories? I mean, we've had your story in London. I know you're very keen to go over to France. You spent a fair bit of time there. Is there a particular dish you like over there that we could introduce to the podcast listeners?
Oh, it's got to be duck. It's got to be duck when you go to France. A nice Sancerre first with some oysters.
Ooh,
if you're
Sancerre.
On the coast.
Are you a fan of Sancerre?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, I tell you what, we've got a bottle. You get the one from Sainsbury's, and then there's a couple of, like, you can get from Waitrose as well.
I have it sent over.
Oh, Jesus.
Right, let's move on. Let's move on then. Let's look forward to the Catalans game. With Steve Price continually going on about Warrington's resilience, I just wonder if Warrington will come up against any French resistance.
Hello, hello. This is the Catalan French Resistance.
Good eye.
Oh, René Price. Under all this hostility, yet you are so resilient. But quick, we must ice the pitcher before Gestapo referee Herr Otto Hicks gets here.
You mean the pitcher of Ben Murdoch Massilla?
Yes, that's right. The fallen Massilla with the big boobies.
No worries. I'll go fetch it.
Oh no, here comes that private officer Breers. He's from St. Helens, yet he thinks he can speak English.
Hey, Hope! Good morning! It's turned out nice again.
What?
Hurry up! The Rugby League wage auditors are on the way. They've come to check the books.
What?
The books.
What? Oh, never mind. Listen very carefully. I should say this only once. René Price, where have you hidden the marquee players?
Oh, gee, we successfully snigged the little Lieutenant Tyrone over the border and dispatched him on a boat to Oz.
Ah, thank God, because that was costing a small fortune.
Was that in rations?
No, it's the hating bells, you fool. And the second Marquis Sani, where have you hidden him?
Oh, sweet. We've hidden Captain Blake in plain sight.
Where?
He's in the boot of the Austin Healey, parked outside.
Right, roll up the paper of the fallen missile and read the big boobies.
Oh, but what am I going to tie it up with?
Use the knee bandages.
Hey, but aren't we stealing?
Talking of stealing a living. Quick, move the tackle bags. There's a signal coming through from Blighty.
Hello, hello, tally-ho, tally-ho. Calling Operation Resilient. Brigadier Draper here. Over.
Hey, up, Brigadier Draper. Private Breezy. Over.
It's over.
Over.
It's over.
Over.
Ah, forget it.
I say, hello.
Ah, yes. Brigadier Draper, what do you want? How may we help you?
I say, old chap. What? Is anyone up for a game of tennis?
My God, this Brexit. He cannot come soon enough.
And by the way, does anyone in French know how to say hand dryer?
Okay, Sam, are we continuing to see two different Catalan sides here? I mean, we get a Catalan team that's good at home. We seem to get a Catalan team that's poor away.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus, doesn't it? And I had a spare half hour this afternoon. I thought I'd be extra boring. And I went and looked up the statistics from the last 4 years. And they don't quite hold true to the good at home, good away. Certainly in 2015, they only won 13 games, 10 of which they won at home, obviously three away. But then after that, it was pretty much as everyone else. In 2016, 8 wins at home, 7 away. 7 wins at home the next year, 5 away, 8 wins and 5. So it's a bit of a myth, really.
It's
not that they're better at home. Of course they are, but they're not that good at home either.
It's a bit like the Crucible Bays, isn't it? That's a bit of a myth.
Faster than everywhere
else. Going
on
about how it's quick. I don't believe that. I reckon if you throw a ball down the Spectrum Arena, it would have been just as quick.
Oh, I'll be able to substantiate that when I go to the final this year. I've got an interesting tenuous link, something French here. Gordon Kay, he actually suffered in an accident and he had to delay filming of the Low Low. And he was hit by a plank on the head in some strong winds. And did you know that Marc Planquez is the chairman or leader of the French Rugby League?
Yeah.
How's about that for a tenuous link, eh?
Well, that's the whole reason why we did it. Whole reason why we did it. We worked backwards on that one, didn't we?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, we've won 3 on the bounce. This possibly is our first big test. I mean, I think we all expected to win at Huddersfield. As good as Huddersfield were last year, they do seem to be struggling early on in 2019. Catalan, as we've said, they're all a bit up and down. Do we go there and win? Are we, if we don't win, are we sort of disappointed? I mean, you know, it's coming early in the season. It's not going to be too warm. I'll go to you first, Sam. Your prediction, how do you think this one will go?
Yeah, I think actually you can't just take this game in isolation. We've got Catalan next week and then a quick turnaround to Castleford on the Thursday after. So it'll be interesting to see if Steve Price mixes the team up. but they've only scored 43 points so far, Catalan. They're struggling a bit, and it looks like, although I didn't see the incident myself, I just read about it, Tompkins may be done for contact with a match official, so he might be missing.
From what I saw of it, it didn't look that bad, did it? It was just a bit of an accident, I think. I don't think it was that bad.
We'll see what happens. But I'm still going to go with a Warrington win on the assumption we put out basically a first choice. I'm going to say 22-16.
Can we have it in French, please?
22-16.
Catalan or Le Dragon.
No, that's just a French sort of accent. That's just taking the piss. Yeah. Come on.
Warrington Van Der.
Warrington Van Der Velde?
Yeah, that's him.
Dennis. Okay. 22-16 Sam's going for. Sum up how you think this game will go and then give us your score prediction.
I think they're going to scrape home. I think it's going to be, everything's just sort of like levelling out a bit now. Teams are sort of like, you know, coming good. And I think Catalan at home are probably going to be the biggest challenge yet. And I think I've got this at Catalan 16, Wyatt 18.
So you've both gone very close again.
Interestingly, though, I just gave you Catalan scoring 60. That's probably because I'm looking at my Cronenberg, which is Cerson, Soisson, Cata. So I've probably just given you 60-22, which would be a bit of a reverse, wouldn't it?
Oh, dear. Well, look, I've been pretty much spot on the first 3 weeks. So I think really we need to come to me on this. I think we're going to run away with it. I've just got this funny feeling that Blake Austin's going to shine. I think we're going to have a car of the week next week for Mr. Austin. I'm going to go Catalan 8, Warrington 48.
It'd be nothing like that then.
Okay, that's all, folks. We'll be back and downloadable next Monday. We're going to be downloadable a little bit earlier from now on. We're going to be downloadable from lunchtimes. We'll be here to review the Catalans match. Keep your suggestions and shout-outs or your opinions flooding in. Our email address is whatbevan@gmail.com or tweet us at whatbevan. Please also check Callum's fabulous website, nothingbutleague.com. So until then, it's a very goodbye from a Timothy Taylan laden Dennis Waywell.
For seeing you.
It's au revoir, adieu from Sam Sankey.
Bonsoir.
And it's a ta-ra from me, Rob London. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Does anyone have any blue tack for my Christine and poster?
Vanessa Paradis.